This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Hi, I'm Anna from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Thursday, the 16th of July, and the time is 7 a.m. in New York. Equities were mostly weaker today, with losses led by Japan. The S&P 500 rose 0.4%, while the Nasdaq was down 30 basis points at the latest close. In Europe, Stoxx Europe 600 slipped 10 basis points, and Switzerland's SMI fell by 0.4%. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 dropped 2.8%, and the Shanghai Composite slipped 1.8%. In foreign exchange, 1 euro buys 1.147 US dollars, and the dollar buys 0.81 Swiss francs. The U.S. 10-year Treasury yield is currently 4.56%, up 2 basis points on the day. Brent crude is trading at $84 a barrel, and gold is at $4,030 an ounce, with both down 0.6% today. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments.
Thanks, Anna. Staying with that volatility, what drove the sharp move lower in South Korea's market today?
Right, well, shares of Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix fell 8.8% and 11.5% respectively in Seoul on Thursday, and that dragged the Kospi down 6.4%. The latest drop adds to recent volatility that has pushed South Korea's equity benchmark more than 25% below the all-time high it reached in June.
And what's sitting behind that latest bout of pressure across semiconductor stocks?
Well, domestic regulatory concerns have contributed, with the head of the Financial Services Commission saying the country will soon announce measures to curb the risks of single-stock leveraged exchange-traded funds. At the same time, questions over the durability of the AI rally and uncertainty in the Middle East have weighed on the broader semiconductor industry. The Philadelphia Semiconductor Index has fallen about 15% over the same period.
Even so, why do you still see the sector constructively?
Yeah, great question. Well, we view the recent volatility in the context of the sharp second quarter rally and the idiosyncratic developments in South Korea. Overall, we remain constructive on semiconductors because the industry's fundamentals are still solid.
Just on South Korea, how important have leveraged retail trades been in driving that volatility?
They have been a major factor. Launched in May, more than a dozen single-stock leveraged ETFs tied to Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix quickly amassed cumulative trading value of KRW 212 trillion, or about 140 billion US dollars, in their first month, boosted by highly leveraged retail participation. Earlier this week, the Kospi's 9% single-day drop triggered margin calls on more than 1.2 million retail accounts. That resulted in more than 300,000 accounts being forcibly liquidated and wiped out billions of dollars in principal. President Lee Jae-myung has ordered regulatory bodies to act swiftly to ensure market stability and protect investors. The details remain to be seen, but some regulatory oversight may ultimately prove healthy for the market. In our view, a partial unwind should not necessarily be feared given earnings remain strong.
Following on from that, what did this week's company results tell you about the underlying semiconductor cycle?
ASML and TSMC both reported robust earnings amid strong AI demand. In addition to Samsung's forecast of a 19-fold increase in second quarter profit, both companies posted strong results for the three-month period. TSMC's net profit jumped 77% year over year to a record, and it raised both revenue guidance for the current quarter and its capital expenditure target for 2026. ASML's revenue, gross margin, earnings, and free cash flow all came in well above consensus estimates, and it lifted its 2026 revenue guidance to 10% above the consensus forecast. The company also projected higher sales for both 2027 and 2028. Without taking any single name view, we think these results demonstrate both the current intensity and the duration of the semiconductor capacity upcycle. And while many of the memory segment's catalysts have already played out in recent months, we still see strong growth opportunities in other parts of semis.
Looking at the bigger picture, can robust AI spending keep supporting semiconductors from here?
Broadly speaking, yes, although risks are emerging. After several years of rapid capital spending growth, big tech companies' spending requirements will soon overtake their operating cash flows. With investor pressure for greater capital discipline likely to increase, we acknowledge the rising risk that CapEx could grow at a slower than expected pace. We also do not expect another round of CapEx guidance increases when U.S. hyperscalers report earnings in the coming weeks. Still, we think near-term CapEx cuts are equally unlikely because GPU rental prices have re-accelerated recently and constraints remain in parts of the semiconductor supply chain. We expect overall AI spending to rise to near $1 trillion U.S. dollars in 2027, although visibility beyond that is still limited at this stage.
So what's the investment takeaway from all of this?
The main takeaway is that recent volatility reinforces the importance of a selective approach to semiconductors. Our top three areas of focus are semiconductor equipment, foundries, and compute. Investors should also make sure they have balanced and diversified exposure to the broader AI theme.
Great, thanks, Anna. Now let's turn to what else caught our attention today. U.S. producer prices fell 0.3% month over month in June, the first decline since August and below forecast for a flat reading. On an annual basis, the increase slowed to 5.5% from 6% in May, marking the lowest reading in 3 months. While measures of underlying price pressure rose modestly from May's levels, the data feeding into core personal consumption expenditures should keep that gauge broadly consistent with inflation continuing to move toward the Federal Reserve's 2% target. The 10-year U.S. Treasury yield fell 4 basis points on Wednesday to below 4.55%. Our view is that, alongside the softer-than-expected U.S. consumer price data released a day earlier, this latest inflation set suggests the disinflationary environment is likely to continue in the months ahead. While uncertainty in the Middle East remains high, we expect the Fed to keep interest rates steady at the policy meeting later this month and beyond. That means current market pricing on Fed tightening looks too hawkish in our view, creating an opportunity for investors to lock in attractive portfolio income through short and medium maturity quality US dollar bonds. Looking ahead to the 17th of July, markets will also be watching the Eurozone's final June inflation estimate, US June housing starts, and the Michigan consumer sentiment reading for July. And that's it for today, and we look forward to bringing you the latest House View update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.